I'm Rob Wornell, one of the pastors here at Fox River, and No Regrets, just like I said, just tremendous time. This is your first time at a No Regrets? All right, wow, quite a few. Great. Glad that you came. Hope it's a positive experience, something that you'll just put on your regular routine, even just to come and be a part of. So let's pray, and then we'll jump right into things, all right? Lord God, I do ask that you continue the work, Lord, that you're doing today. God, we know it didn't just start today, and it won't end today. And so I pray that help each of these men, God, to have clarity on what you want them to do with what they receive, and God, how they can take it and just have their lives changed, Lord, and then let that be a ripple effect into many others as well. Praise things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about something that even in that first session, Kenny Luck, he didn't use the term success, but he did allude to there is something that's within every one of us really to want to achieve, right? To make a difference, to succeed, really is the term I would give it. And that is a God-given thing. That's an important thing. Otherwise, we'd have no motivation in our life to do anything. And so we need it. But we need to narrow in on what it is as well. And so I want to help you to narrow in on some of this and to not miss the importance, really, of what it is. So I'm going to challenge you to think about success, maybe in a new way even. And then we will do some narrowing. I can't do the full narrowing of it for you. That's something that you're going to have to do. But I can give you some helps and some tools, hopefully, to be able to do that. But when you even think about success itself, there is just that nagging question of what is it? And it can get defined in many, many different ways. So let's even just take a stab at this. Let me ask you before, because I want to make sure that everybody get two sheets. You should have two. One's going to be the notes, basically, and then another one's going to be an exercise we're going to do. It looks like concentric circles there. Anybody not get them, I should say. Okay, we're good. We're covered. All right. So when you think of success, go ahead and throw out some of the things that you believe that our culture, maybe ourselves even personally, would deem a measurement of success or a target at least that is shot for, whatever comes to mind. Finances, yep, absolutely. Good. What else? Titles, yeah, absolutely. House, yeah. Car, yep. You have dreams and they get fulfilled, possibly, right? Yeah.
Job.
Yep. Happiness. Yeah, there's a lot of things, aren't there, that it's like, well, what is it that I'm actually shooting at? And do I get to determine that, or does someone else get to determine it or define it? How do you know that you are accomplishing what you're meant to accomplish, right? Who gets to define it? Because there's all kinds of people in your life that are trying to help you define it, right? Who would be some of those people?
Parents.
Parents, there you go. Those are the ones who usually start, right? They have expectations for us, yeah? And they let us know what they are, and they let us know when we succeed or when we fail. Who else?
Teachers.
Wife. Nobody wanted to go to the wife. Thanks, Dave, for doing that. So we needed that one. Yep, our kids do, right? Ethan. They have expectations of us. Nobody wants to say probably one of the most glaring ones. Pastors. Okay, wasn't quite thinking that one, no. Anybody have a boss? Yeah, well, God, yes, right. So there's all kinds of people who are trying to influence us even in our lives. And that's okay, and that's important. We need to consider those things, but we better know really what it is that we're shooting for. So I want to give you some helps in fulfilling that need to succeed. Let me see if I can get this right. There we go. So I want to give you just some helps. There are really going to be three bullet points or big points, and I'll give some supporting pieces to it. And then, like I said, we'll do an exercise to help flesh it out because we're going to start big. Kind of like on the outer rings of a target, even. But as we do that, that is going to be actually our first piece, is we need to, hopefully you can read that. It's a little smaller than I thought it was going to be. You need to know your target, right? And it shouldn't be moving all the time, at least if there is such a thing. Is there such a thing as a target that doesn't move? And I beg to say, yes, there is. And I'm going to, again, start big picture and then hone in on that. But sometimes in life, it can feel like I'm either moving, you know, or shooting at a moving target, and once I hit it, it seems like it goes away, and then there has to be another target created. But is there a big one? Is there like something that's within the ballpark? And when that is absent, we have this temptation actually to create artificial targets. And what I mean by that is this, is there's actually that ability to make anything really a target and say, as long as I achieve it, then I've created success. There's a guy by the name of Stephen Covey who wrote a book many years ago called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. A lot of key pieces in there. But one of the illustrations he gives is this. He said, many of us are going to be climbing the ladder of success only to get to the top of it and look down and see that it's been leaning against the wrong wall the whole time. That's what happens when you don't have clarity on your target, when you don't know what success really is. You can accomplish things still. I have a friend, he has this regular saying, he goes, I'm a shoot first, aim later type of guy. I'm like, oh man, I'm probably the opposite of that. I want to know what I'm shooting at. I said, I agree that you need to make movement before you have everything figured out, because that's what he's trying to say, is at least make sure you're moving, okay? And we'll talk about the importance of movement, because it is very important. But there's an old cartoon back in the 60s is when these started coming out. They're just one-frame cartoons of all people done by a guy who I believe he became a monk is what he ended up in life. And so you'll see why the resemblance of the cartoon. But what it is this. The backstory is a guy wanders over into this area where there's a fence. And he noticed on that fence these targets. Like three targets, and every single one of them has the arrow in the bullseye. Like directly, you couldn't get any better of a mark, actually. He's like, I gotta find out who is this good of an archer that they're able to hit bullseyes like that. Well, he sees the one responsible, actually, is a little kid. And so he says, how did you get so good at that? And the kid says, well, really, it's really not that hard. It's rather quite easy. He said, you see, it's easy. First you shoot the arrow, then you just get the paintbrush out. You ever feel that way? It's like, man, if I can just create success out of everything I do and just keep doing the same thing, that'd be great. If there was no target, you know, if we could create in whatever we want. And sometimes we spend a lot of time doing that. And we set up artificial targets. And we feel good about it. I'm not saying you shouldn't have goals, but you got to be careful with those goals if they're not in alignment with what God says. Because God does give us the definition of success. And I'm going to help us to do this. I'm going to start again very broad. But the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, he's talking about his life. And Paul had this calling on his life, and I believe every Christ follower does. It's not exactly the same, but you're going to see in that big picture piece, it is the same. He describes it this way. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. Would you read the rest with me? To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What does that sound like to you? Sounds to me like Paul believed that God has a purpose. And his purpose started really even before he created us. But he has a purpose for every single one of us. And he describes it simply like this. I want to grab a hold or accomplish or find success in what God grabbed a hold of me for. So here's the question. Do you know what that is? Do you know that God grabbed a hold of you? There's only one exception to that, is if you are not a Christ follower. If you're a Christ follower, God grabbed a hold of you. You didn't grab a hold of him. He grabbed a hold of you. And he did it on purpose. He wants to grab a hold of everybody, but not everyone will let him do it. So have you ever wrestled with the thought of, why did God grab a hold of me? Why am I a believer? Why do I follow Christ? Or is it totally unrelated to your life? Paul will go on, he'll say things like this. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's a lot of things you can unpack in that. I just want to unpack a couple. Do you think he chose those words, whether therefore you eat or drink, on purpose? When you hear eat or drink, what does that mean to you?
Everything you do.
Yeah, everything. It's all inclusive, right? The necessities of life. If we need to do the necessities of life to the glory of God, then there's nothing, right, outside of that. So he's saying, even with the things that we don't even have to think about, thankfully in America at least, sometimes we don't think about. I don't know about you, but before I'm ready to dive in a steak, I'm not usually sitting there thinking, is there a way that I can make this into the glory of God? I don't do that. And I don't think he requires me to do that. But he's telling us, don't separate your life thinking that there's any part of your life that should not bring glory to God. Every part of your life should bring glory to God. Everything. Okay? So hold on to that for a moment. And like I said, we'll drill down a little bit. So success is grabbing hold of what God grabbed a hold of us for. Again, I realize that doesn't bring a whole lot of clarity because it's going to be very individual. So not only do we need to know the target, but we need to align directions with your direction. Now, you might be confused, right? Because when you just take two words that look the same and add an S to one, it's hard to differentiate. What are you talking about? It sounds like you're making a differentiation between direction and directions. I am. Some of us have a hard time remembering this, but I want you to think about two different devices. They are somewhat related, but they are different, and sometimes we can confuse the two. The one, every one of us in the room, I'm sure, has dealt with before, a GPS. The other one, you have to go back. Anybody in Boy Scouts at some point in their life? Okay? Maybe you have a heads up on this one or a leg up on the rest of us. There was something that I think you used. It was called a compass. Okay? Are a compass and a GPS the same? They're related, but they're not the same. Okay? They do have a variance of function, don't they? Right? What does a GPS do? Directions with the S, right? It gives you directions, pinpointed directions. And when you don't follow them, it even tells you you did not follow them, right? That's important. That's helpful. But it's not helpful if the direction has not been set. Then it's confusing, right? And we won't lack for people who want to give us directions. They will. And when you don't follow those directions, they're going to let you know and they're going to treat you like you're a failure. Reminds me of when my daughter was probably about 3 or 4 years old, okay? I said I'm a pastor at Fox River, been here before this building was even built, okay? A long time. But after it was built, my kids were young, I would take the same route home every single time, okay? I'd go out the driveway, I'd take a left, immediately at the lights, it was probably a stop sign at that point, probably, you know, just two lanes rather than four lanes. I would take a right on 164, I'd go down National Avenue, end up in Muskego at some point, okay? So that was my route. My daughter was familiar with that route. But one day I decided I'm not going to go down 164 because I knew in my heart and in my head, I can go over to Guthrie, take a right also, and get down to National Avenue. So I decided that's what I was going to do. Can you imagine what possibly might have happened before GPS took place? I had a GPS in my back seat that day. Because when I got to that stop sign and I went straight, instead of turning right, I heard this blood-curdling scream from the back of the car saying what? We're going the wrong way. I'm like, no, we're good. No, we're not going home. We're going the wrong way. That's what directions do, right? They make it a clear-cut black and white. You do it this way and this way only, but it could be the ladder leaning against the wrong wall if we don't use the compass alongside of the GPS. Because a compass does not give clear-cut directions turn by turn. What does it give you? It gives you north. Trustworthy north. At least what I understood in my little bit of time figuring out what true north was, at least I think they call it magnetic north, which can move at times, but you're basically going pretty much the right direction. You need both. You need the direction and you need the directions, but sometimes the direction gets lost. And so we need to recalibrate and make sure that we are going the right direction. We need to align those directions with your direction. And so how do we do that? Here's one of the things that you need to find hope in and remember. The directions, they'll come. They'll come if you have the direction right. And they'll come as they're needed. They can seem like, oh man, I wish I had a little bit more direction in life. I wish I knew what five steps ahead looked like. But you don't get it. It's not given to you, maybe. Or it's given to you later than what you realized, and you look and say, now I have to backtrack because I just didn't have it all. That's okay. And so what I want to do is look at two teachings of Jesus that I regularly come back to personally that helped me to recalibrate my direction. And this is going to be the part where you're going to have to wrestle a little bit. You have to ask yourself, do I believe that that is success? Do I really believe this is success? Okay? So the first one is actually a statement. It's what I'd call my life verse. It comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. It simply says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. To give you a little context, he had just gotten done talking about worry. Worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. Again, the basic necessities of life. And he says, don't worry about them. And he says, and here's why you don't need to worry about them. Because if you will make your number one priority seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, then those things will become the small stuff that you don't need to sweat. This is direction. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what occupation you're going to have, what friendships you're going to pour into, those things are directions along the way. And so if you keep the direction, then those directions will make sense because they will tell you, are you moving? Are they moving you towards that direction? What is the direction? What are the two words or phrases that stick out in that passage there? How does he describe what a Christ follower's direction is or should be? Seek what? The kingdom of God. And then the last part, the second part, and is what? Righteousness. That needs to be your focus. That is success. Is what I'm doing, pouring into God's kingdom. Now here's the temptation. That's for pastors. I'm not a pastor. I can't say that. You probably can, except for one or two in the room. Right? Is he talking to pastors here? No, there weren't any pastors in the room there. There was no such thing as a pastor when he said these words. He was talking to everyone who was following him. Everyone who said, I am a follower of Jesus. He says, here is your true north, your direction. Seek my kingdom first. Here's another temptation. Well, kingdom, because he uses the term kingdom of heaven at times, so we think, well, that's something off in a distant land, somewhere where I can't touch right now. And that's often a distant time called eternity. No, it's not. You're saying the kingdom of God is now. It's what every believer is involved in or should be involved in. He's saying that's my priority. He's saying seek it first. Make that your compass. So ask yourself, is that what I'm doing on a daily basis? And don't try to separate them. Don't do this. Well, you don't understand. My job has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It does. It does. Especially the people that you work with. They do. Because you want to bring them into the kingdom of God. And God's using you in that workplace to be able to do that. You might be like, well, I can't talk about Jesus. It's not always having a conversation during work about Jesus, okay? But he's using you to influence is what he's doing. And he wants to continue that influence happening. So that's one. Another time what happens is Jesus asks a very important question. They're usually asked to trick him is what they are. But again, it brings priority. It brings helps in life to say, hey, can I hone in a little bit more on the rings at least of the target? You can here, especially with this one, because it takes some of the concepts of kingdom of God and his righteousness and makes them pretty practical here, okay? They change from day to day what they look like, but they're going to be very practical. The question was simply this. If you could take all the commandments and just give us the top one, what would it be? You may say, well, why is that a trick question? Because there were over 600 of them. So guess what they're trying to do? They're trying to get him to name the wrong one. Well, who knows the wrong one when there's 600 and some of them, right? I mean, what's the likelihood you're going to get one that everybody's going to agree upon? That's what they're hoping to do. It didn't work because he named two of them, and they were the greatest commandment. And so he says, here you go. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Again, you see something here? He says, if you get these right, everything else will come in line. Everything. If you make your focus, how do I love God and how do I love others? Everything else will come into line. Because then, how much money you make will be attached to how can I use that money to love God more and love others more and help bring people into his kingdom. If you detach them, then you're saying, how can I love God and make money my number one priority in life? Does that ever compete in your life? Does your job ever compete with your love for your wife or your kids or your friends? Absolutely. So don't let it be a competition. Remember what comes first. Love God and love your neighbor. That's not the only thing that you're going to have that adds to success. But you cannot lose sight of it. And so you have to keep coming back to it and recalibrating and saying, how am I doing at this? How am I doing at loving God and loving others? And how am I doing at seeking the kingdom of God? So that's where I want to spend the rest of our time, is helping to spell some of that out. With this third piece, remember that movement precedes arrival. Do not confuse the two. We are set up for failure right here because we look at destinations rather than journeys. And honestly, I believe that there is going to be success in the movement many times more than there will be in the destination. Because if you don't find success in the movements, you will not get to the destination. But we put focus on destinations at a very young age. Let me prove this out. How many have ever taken your kids to Disney? Or you were a kid that was taken to Disney? Yeah. Okay. So, hey kids, we're going to Disney. And we're driving from Wisconsin down to Florida, which doesn't sound too bad during this time of the year anyways, right? And so, your three-year-old, your four-year-old, they may have somebody that age, okay, all right, or had somebody that age at one time, okay, all right. So, you got that three-year-old, that four-year-old, you pack up everything, the anticipation is growing, they've seen the brochures, they've gone to the websites, they see the commercials on TV, you've bought the tickets ahead of time to get in the parks even, you've had the conversations, they're thinking about what they're going to eat, how they're going to dress, they get in the car, you get up early at 6 o'clock in the morning, you have the car all packed, ready to go, you get in, and you get to a place that they're no longer familiar with, which is 5 miles down the road, and their first question is what? Are we there yet? Because all the emphasis has been on what? The arrival. The destination. Nothing else matters on the entire trip except getting there. That's just not true. You see, you have to have multiple successes along the road or you will not get to the destination. Getting the car checked at the mechanic before the road trip might be one of them. Figuring out which gas stations you're going to stop at along the way. deciding are you going to take a potty break or not. All those successes that don't look like successes, right, are so, so important. It can't just be the destination. Keep the destination in mind. But you have to remember that the successes are going to come while you move. And as you move, you're going to find some directions. And as you take another step, it's going to reveal another direction. You won't have all the directions ahead of time. You don't need all the directions ahead of time. But you do need the direction. And you need to find great success in the movement along the journey. Both parts, that means, are needed. If you go back to that passage in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, notice what it says here. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Remember what he said before? My goal is to grab a hold of what God grabbed a hold of me for. And now he's admitting to something. I haven't grabbed a hold of it yet. I'm still in the journey. I'm still moving. Notice, forgetting what is behind and what? Straining toward what is ahead. That is success right there. I press on toward the goal. That's direction. That's movement in the right direction. He's saying that is success right there. I cannot let go of that. I cannot kid myself into thinking I can make any decision today that has nothing to do with the direction that I want to go in, and it won't matter. It will matter. You will never get there because you're not going to get there accidentally. And so he goes on, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We need both. When I say both, what we need is long-term direction and near-term movement. You can rarely control the actual direction or destination other than to make the right movement today, here, and now. It's the difference between a dream and actually the fulfillment of that dream. Because you have to take steps. And so I want to give you practical steps to do here. All right, so let's get practical. Here's what I want you to do. Did everybody get their blanks filled in? I'm notorious for not doing that, so I hope you got them. If not, see me afterwards, and I can get them to you if it matters. I want you to take this sheet right here. It's blank on the bottom on purpose because I want you to do some writing first here, okay? I want you to spend a couple minutes, and here's what I want you to do. Because he puts the emphasis on love God and love others, we're going to start there. You may put some other things down that are important to you. You might say, well, I've got some goals, okay? Go ahead, put the goals, but put them to the side, all right, for now, just so you don't lose them. But I want to put the focus on relationships. Start there because he says if you love God and you love others, all the other things are going to come in alignment. You got to trust him with that, okay? So he gave us the first one very specifically. He said the greatest commandment is what? Love who? God. So there's your first one. Write them down. On the white space, God is the first relationship that we want to be concerned with. Now, you're going to find multiples beyond this, and that's what I want you to start on. I want you to write down, don't use names, probably use relationship, okay? What are the current relationships in your life right now? If you're married, that means spouse. You have kids, that means children. You don't need to list every name of every child that you have, okay? Siblings. What else would be some? I took the easy ones. You can give me the hard ones. Coworkers. Absolutely. Who else? Grandchildren. Yep. Anybody have any friends? Hopefully. Again, place we don't want to go because you're worried about where I'm going to go with this. Anybody have a boss? Put them down. He gave a title. It doesn't mean as strictly as what we read it, but he said the second commandment is what? Love who? Your neighbor. Write it down. You have neighbors. Write them down. What that really means is anybody in need. So strangers, write it down. Each list can look a little different. That's fine. Anybody else have other ones?
Parents,
absolutely. Yeah. What are the relationships?
Cousins,
yep. Yeah, Bible group, right. Yep, good. All right, tell me how many you have. How many you have right now on your paper? Seven, that's a good number. 11, okay, that's going to be a little much, but I'll tell you what to do with it. 10, okay, all right, we're in a similar ballpark. You can group some, okay, if they look logically to group, because here's what I want you to do with this. You notice that there are seven, I believe, circles on your paper. Don't touch them yet, okay? But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take and I want you to rate between 1 and 7 where you would say the condition of those relationships are right now. 1 is not good. 7 is Jesus. Perfect, okay? I chose that on purpose. Here's the reason why. 4s do not count, and you cannot use them. So what does that do? It makes a clear delineation between bad and good, doesn't it? 4 is not, it's middle ground. We're not using middle ground. You either have to make a decision between a 3 and a 5, that means. 5, 6, and 7, pretty good place. 1, 2, 3 needs some improvement. Doesn't mean 5, 6, and 7 don't need any improvement, okay? But they're in a pretty decent place. Make sense? It's subjective, okay? It's a guess. Yeah, it is painful, isn't it? It's going to be hard to look at. It'll get a little hopeful here, okay? I'm not going to leave you in a bad place, I hope. Again, it's just a guess. Don't worry. Okay, another number, one we talked about before, not the rating though. If you have 8 different groupings, I would try not to do any more than 8, okay? So if you can combine some, like family can be a catch-all for quite a few, or immediate family and extended family would be a way that you could group some maybe. The circles are a pie. And you need to slice your pie by the amount of categories you have. Following what I'm saying? You have 8, then that circle should be cut into 8 pieces. Keep them as close as you can to very similar in size, all right? But don't feel like we're not getting rulers out, okay? We're not measuring. Just slice the pie into the amount of categories. You can change it later if you decide to add or take away. That's fine. So you should have a sliced pie. The amount of slices is the amount of categories you wrote down on your piece of paper. Everybody following? I realize it would be better if I would be doing this up on here, but I forgot my pen to be able to write on the screen here. Okay, now I want you to label each one. Doesn't matter which one's which. Again, you don't have to make God your biggest slice, okay? That's not the point of this. But God should be one of the slices. If you're married, spouse should probably be one of the slices. Children could be another slice, okay? Cover every slice. And here's what I should tell you. If you can, write it on the outside of the circle, okay? Because you're going to actually do some shading on the inside of the circle, and you'll probably end up shading over. So following what I'm saying there, on the outside of the circle, go ahead and put labels. Have every slice labeled. Okay, here's the fun part. Let's say you put a 3 for one of those relationships. Find that relationship and shade in all levels from middle to the third. If you put a 7, the whole slice should be shaded in, that means. If you put a 1, only that little sliver in the middle should be shaded in. So the rings go from 1 to 7. Following me? Somebody give me an example of a number that you put down. What's the category and what's the number? Just give me one random one. Anybody else? Kids too? Wife six. Okay, so for John, he should have shaded in from the middle all the way out to the one ring open. That's it, unshaded. Two should be just those first two should be shaded in that section. Following me? So seven is outside circle. Okay. Everything shaded.
So I'm just talking about the category that we did.
Yep. Supposed to be one is a low. Yep. One is a low, seven is a high. Okay, all right. Clarification. There you go. Good. It's just gonna give you a visual, hopefully, at least. Okay, remember how I said that it's movement that matters. Movement is success. This will give you a visual, and it will give you a help, hopefully, on what you want to move. So, a couple things I want you to look at. One is this. What are your top three? You might have a tie. You got to break the tie, okay? If you do. So, top three. Strangers, if you that down, that's a hard one. It's not how well you know them. It's maybe your heart towards them, possibly. But the other's probably going to be indicative of how you feel that your relationship is with them right now. If you're struggling in it, obviously, it's going to be a lower number. If you're doing well, it's going to be a higher number. So what are your top three? Okay, now, this is the part that has a tempting piece that I want you to avoid. What are the three that you want to make movement in? Here's the temptation. Well, that's easy. Just find my bottom three. No, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to find three that in the next 30 days you want to make movement in. It doesn't have to be your bottom three. It can be one of them can be your top. For me, I'll tell you right now, one of them will be my wife, and that's going to be one of my better ones. It is, but I still want to make movement in it. And I say, well, make movement in it? With the exception of something that you're added to, absolutely. Because if my relationship with my wife is not right, it's going to influence many other relationships. So that's going to be a key relationship for me. And I said, what about God? Yep. Yeah. Because many times, God doesn't rate as high as my wife. Now, I would tell you that he does. And my desire is that he does. But reality tells me he doesn't. I spend more time with my wife than I do with God. And I say, well, obviously, that'd be a whole lot of reading and Bible praying and, you know, all that stuff, right? Yeah, it would be. Okay, so here's hopefully where some ahas will take place. Because what I want you to do is I don't want you to dream about those numbers moving. I want you to actually be able to have handles on something that you can do to move them. Okay? So the three. Somebody just give me some vulnerability here, okay? What's one that you want to move? One or your three? What is it? Coworkers. Awesome. Good. So rather than just wish, rather than hope that it changes, rather than to say, well, if they would just be better people, then that would change, okay? Avoid that at all costs. It's not about them as much as it's about you. Here's the reason I asked you, what are your top three? What do you do that makes them successful right now? You may do it without even thinking about it. Where you're doing well, what do you do in that area right now that makes it successful? Here's one. Reason that I believe my relationship with my wife is good is because every Friday night we go out on a date. Last night we went to Uncle Julio's in Brookfield. Sat and talked and enjoyed a good meal, thanks to a Christmas gift from a friend, right? Do you think that has anything to do with a high rating on my marriage? Absolutely. Absolutely. My relationship with God, here's something I do. I have a men's group, and we use the Bible app, and I have accountability built into my life that if I don't read, they all know it. And if I don't put a comment in about what I read, they all know it. Think that has anything to do with my relationship with God going the right direction? More than you could ever know. Okay, got the idea? Got some thoughts? Okay, again, just give me an example. Somebody give me an example of something that you do that has helped that have a high rating. Anything at all? Yeah. Yep. There you go. Absolutely. I find when I don't write, I just read. It's not the same. Yep. But it's a hard thing for me to do. It's one of the easiest things to go out the door when I don't have time. Quote, don't have time. Right? Absolutely. Okay. If you haven't made the connection already, hopefully this will help. Is there a translation between what you do, the established habits that you have, in the relationships that you're successful in, that can be translated to the ones that you are not successful in? Follow what I'm saying? If you're successful in your relationship with God, because you make it a point to spend time with him every single day, but you've lost ground in your relationship with your 25-year-old daughter because she moved to Madison and you don't see her every day, now you have to pick up the phone or text, could there be some changes that need to be made? If you don't know who I'm talking about, it's myself, okay? Although I probably got the age wrong, all right? I know I got the age wrong. Okay, yes. Could there be a correlation? Not an exact for exact, but you need some directions. Because love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, they give you direction, but they don't give you directions, do they? Here's another one that'll help you, okay? I hope. You have to do a little dreaming with this, okay? In one year's time, what would you want the words to be used to describe your relationship with that person to be? How would you want them to describe your relationship? For me, I know one of them. Because I know it, because the Holy Spirit prompting me, and I know it because my wife, the Holy Spirit, at times prompting me, okay? Could you just put the phone away so we can have a conversation? So here's a description of myself, Rob Warnell, 1 year from now. Rob does not interrupt conversations with his wife by picking up his phone. That's how I would describe myself. Am I there? No, I am not there. I'm not there. I wish I was. It is so hard to go against the gravitational pull. And I shoot myself in the foot, notifications in. I tell myself this is urgent, this is important, when it's not. At least not as urgent and as important as my children or my wife. So begin to describe yourself 1 year from now. What would you look like in that relationship? Okay, one other thing, and that's it. And we'll call it quits, give you a little time to converse. I hate spending such little time on this last piece because it is one of the most important. I don't think I'm going to have it here. We hit that. We're good. Okay. There are numbers that I can't surpass on my circle by myself. But my go-to is do it myself. And when I do something myself long enough, then I realize this number's never going to move unless I do something differently. Anybody else feel that? In fact, you're looking at paper saying, it's a 3. It's always been a 3. Or maybe it was a 5 and now it's a 3. And you're still looking at that and saying, I guess it's never going to change. I guess God doesn't want it to change. I don't know about that. I shared a little bit of how I get some of that change. But when I finally realize I am not going to do this by myself, that's when I put what I think is so very important in. It's called accountability. When you go public, so you decide whether this is healthy for you or not. If one of the people on your list that you want to take from below 4 to above 4 is your wife, Tell her, honey, you're at a 3 right now, and I want you to be a 5. What can we do about that? What'd you just do? You put some accountability in your life because you know if you fail at that now, you just went public with it. If you're not fearless enough, or maybe I could say stupid enough because I don't know if that's wise or not, okay? You're going to have to determine that. You are. Then find somebody else. I'm not talking another woman, obviously. I'm saying find a friend that you can say, you know what? I think I'm at a 3 with my wife, and I want to take it to a 5. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I want you to ask me in 1 month's time, did it move to 5? Put some accountability in your life. Because you got to get tired of saying, you know what, I've been trying this, I'm ready to give up. Don't give up. Go ask for help. Find someone who will ask you, hey, so how's your relationship going with this person? Whether it be your wife, whether it be your friends, whether it be your coworkers, whether it be your study group. And don't leave God out. I said you may need somebody in your life, if you're serious about changing your relationship with God, that's going to ask you, are you spending time with him? You're not. How's that going for you? Anything changing there? And then thank them for it, because they're doing you a great service and they're loving you. It doesn't feel like it maybe, but they're loving you in the midst of that. All right? One thing, top it off. C.T. Studd, old missionary, gave this reminder. You only have one life. And I'm not saying YOLO, okay? Here's how he put it. This is the original YOLO right here. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for the glory of God is success. That's it. It's as simple as that. All right. Take some time, 5 minutes, okay? Then we probably better clear the room. Last session will be in there. That'll give you enough time to get there. Spend 5 minutes. Just share maybe one of the answers to the questions that we had. What were your top 3? Maybe what your commitment is to which ones to work on, all right? Let me pray for us, and that way you can just leave when you're done, okay? Lord God, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, for giving us clarity on what success is. Help us to believe it, though. Because, God, some of us, including myself in this room, we're going to walk out of here, and we're going to see success in other places than what you determine. I pray you'd help us trust you and believe you when you say these are the greatest things. Love God, love others, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And those other things, God, they'll come into place. Praise in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks a lot, guys.